Phil Hook shares in his book, Rhythms of the Heart, my mother and I did not mix very well, so I chose the typical teenage solution of silence. I would leave for school in the morning, come home to eat, and then leave again. When I was at home at night, I would simply read books. Invariably, my mother would come downstairs and ask me if I wanted a sandwich. I grunted my assent, and she would cook egg and bacon sandwiches night after night after night until I left home for good. Years later, when our relationship was mended, she told me why she had made those sandwiches for me every night. She said, "If you ever talked to me, it was when I made you one of those sandwiches." So on this Mother's Day, I want to just say thank you to the mothers here today for all of the wonderful sandwiches and food that you've made us over the years. But also, especially, I want to thank you for the ways in which you have communicated love to each one of us. Mothers, grandmothers, such a powerful gift that you and women as well in general share with all of us. In fact, I believe love is the most important gift that you give to your children and your grandchildren, and for that matter, any child that is in your midst. The reason why I believe that is that love is the gift that you give that enables your children to connect with you. I believe that God created us, actually, He's created every human being to be loved. And the environment of heaven will be an environment of perfect love. And so for the child who's just beginning to grow, whether it is the child within a mother's womb or a child who is beginning the first days of their life, the most important thing that a mother or a grandmother or any woman can give them is the gift of love. It forms them. It shapes them. It helps them to know that they belong and they can actually begin to form a relationship with you. And in fact, the relationship with a mother and the father at the very beginning of life and through those early years is the most important relationship a child will ever have. And if the child, for whatever reason, is not loved during those early years, they will spend the rest of their life looking for it. I can honestly say to you that in my 32 years of being a priest, as of this coming June, of all the people I've seen in my office and on ships and in different places throughout the world, those who have struggled the most through their life have been those who had a sense from early on that in some way they were not loved. They were not cared for, especially in particular by their mothers. Now, I'm not to judge their mothers. I mean, I'm sure their mothers sought to love them and care for them in different ways, but maybe in some way for them that message didn't get through. And so that's been a struggle for them ever since. One of the things I want to say today is that later on during my message, we'll have a time to heal some of those connections. I believe that one of the things we need to do with the mothers and the grandmothers and the women in our life is actually to cut them a break, to realize that they're human beings, that sometimes they have, if you will, bad hair days just as much as other people in life have a difficult time, and sometimes struggles ensue from that and arguments and difficult words said. But there can be healing in that. There can be healing for us in that through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God knows no limit of time. God can heal every situation and every memory that we've been through that we might be restored in Him and made anew. So mothers, first of all, I want to thank you for the love that you've shared with your children, with your grandchildren, and with every kid that's around you, because it is the greatest gift that you can give them. And it blesses them in so many different ways. Also this morning, I would like to thank you mothers for making family a priority. You know, in this day and age when there's so many different things going on and people's lives are so busy, family is something that can suffer. Family is something that can easily not be a priority. But I would direct your attention to the gospel lesson today in John where Jesus is actually praying for the family of God. You'll notice in there that he says that they may be one like you, me, Father, are one. And so Jesus is actually praying for the family of God. He's praying not only for his disciples that they would be one, but he's praying for those who would believe in him through their words. That would be me and you. And what Jesus is praying is that we would be one so that the world might know that he actually was sent by the Father. You see, the world knows that when human beings are actually living in unity, when they're actually getting along together, when they're actually loving one another, that something miraculous is happening, that God is in their midst, and it's something special. And Jesus knew that. And that as the family of God walks in love with one another over time and learns to be in oneness, that the glory of God actually shines forth from them in a very special way. In fact, there was a gathering this past Thursday night, the National Day of Prayer here in Naples. A number of us gathered in prayer, a number of pastors and priests from different churches. And one of the things that's been true about repentance and revival coming upon a nation before that can happen is the church needs to begin to come together in unity. Because until God's church comes together in unity, his glory and his love can't really break forth upon the world. And so it's so important in the church, and it's so important in our families as well. You know, to be one like Jesus and the Father are one calls for a very deep connection. It's something that you cannot fake. It's something that you cannot pretend that is there. It is something that is present through the power of the Holy Spirit and through love. You see, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, for that matter, were one even before the beginning of time. There's a oneness between them. And yet there is a diversity. In each one of them, they have a different work to do on behalf of the creation, on behalf of you and me. Abba, Father, loving and caring for us. Jesus, Savior and Lord. Holy Spirit, powerful, empowering presence. All diverse, all unique, and yet all incredibly one. And the same true for you and me. All incredibly diverse. All of us different gifts and different inclinations, and yet one in the Spirit of God. And so we can foster this unity in prayer by praying for one another and even within your families as well. Keep on praying for your kids. I don't care if your kid is 6 months old or 50 years old. One of the things that Jan and I have learned is that they will always be your children, right? Always your kids. Some days you celebrate that and some days it's a little bit of a struggle, right? We all know that feeling, all right? Absolutely right. But keep on praying for them. Do not give up, because God will answer your prayers as a mother or grandmother or a woman in the most incredible and miraculous ways. Finally, I would say honor God's word. You know, you as a family and us as a family of God need to honor the Lord's word to us. And as we honor his words about loving him and loving one another, about not stealing, about not coveting what our neighbor has, God will bless that family with unity. In the same way, if the family is not honoring God's word, there will not be unity. There will be disunity. You shouldn't expect unity in a family that is not honoring God, whether it be the church or a nuclear family. And so these are important things that you as mothers and grandmothers need to impart to your children and need to continue to impart to them. They may seem like they're not listening to you. It might be like my opening story where Phil gives you a reluctant grunt to go ahead. You can tell that your child might be welcoming that as much as they might be an anchovy sandwich or something they absolutely don't want to have. But you need to keep on speaking to them, praying for them, sharing the word of God with them, and fostering their relationship with the Lord and one another. Because in that, the Holy Spirit begins to bring forth a unity among you that is truly heaven sent. Of course, at times there are struggles, aren't there? You remember those cross-country trips in the station wagon with the family? The kids in the back seat? The arguments, the punching? You don't want me to pull this car over, right? You don't want me to do that. You want to stop before I do that. Right? Remember those? I didn't know my mom's arm was that long. You know what I mean? I would squinch back in the corner and she still reached me. There's no way my mom's arm was that long, but it was. She was like Superwoman in those moments. And yet there could be a grace in that as well, right? Families have difficulties. They have struggles. There are things that we laugh about this day that maybe still might be a struggle at this moment, and yet there's a grace in that. We can come together in the end and be one. So mothers, thank you for loving. Thank you for emphasizing the importance of family. And mothers, also I want to thank you for training up a child in the way they're supposed to go, the importance of learning. In Proverbs 22, we read, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it, except in junior high, high school, and college." That should be in the scripture. I'm sorry, it needs to be there. It's just how it works out. But you know, the truth of the matter is God has entrusted these children to you to raise them in God's word and God's values. The world is busy 24/7 shaping and forming and mediaizing and touching and speaking to the children of our world, trying to shape them and direct them in a certain way. And we need to be imparting God's value and God's word to them just as much. To instill in them family relationships, sharing of meals together, sharing struggles together, modeling for them what it looks like to love God and to love one another. You know, it's interesting. I would just invite you to see how much times have changed, you know, later on today or maybe sometime this week, to just go for a walk through the mall and watch the families that are walking together. What you'll notice is one will be on the iPod, another will be looking at their smartphone. They might have their headphones on. But one of the things they're not doing is talking to each other. In fact, even within a home, what you will find is that there'll be a kid in one bedroom and a kid, maybe a mother or father downstairs, and they'll be texting to one another about what's happening. Oh, it's happening. That's what's going on. And I'm all about the technology. Oh, I love the technology. I'm all for it. But I want to tell you something. We're losing something with the technology, and what we're losing is connection. We're not actually communicating with one another anymore. We're a community of technological strangers who don't really know one another. And one of the things we do in our home each night is at least we sit down and we have dinner together each night. And guess what? We turn off the TV. And also, you have to take out any electronical devices that you have and leave them at the side. And actually, we do something really unique as a family. We actually communicate. Now, sometimes there are incredible moments of silence. It's, how was your day? Fine. Ever have that conversation before? Well, tell me a little bit more about it. What happened today? Oh, not much. Right? But we have to work on that then. We have to go a little bit deeper and begin to try to delve a little bit more and get more feeling words out and really talk about what's going on. Even if it's for 15 or 20 minutes a day, we need to foster that communication with each other. And grandmas, I just want to say to you, I know you walk on eggshells. Oh my. When the in-laws and the outlaws are in, right? You're walking on eggshells. Oh, I really can't say anything. But what you can say is when you sit down for dinner in the evening, just say, you know what, I'd like us to just have some time with each other. You can leave your iPods and your phones on the side. You can put them on silence, and we're just going to have some time to talk with each other. I would love to have a conversation with you. That's what you can do. And I encourage you to do that and be an example of what it means to connect in this day and to love and care for one another. They're watching and listening to you, whether they are 6 months old or 50 years old. They're still watching and listening to you. On the battlefields of the world, in the places where I was as a chaplain in the military, whenever somebody was mortally wounded and dying, and they knew that they were breathing some of their last breaths. To a person, they were always calling out for their mother. They were always calling out for their mother because they wanted to connect with that person who they knew loved and cared for them and would give them as much comfort in the final moments that they had upon earth. What a powerful, powerful ministry and presence and loving connection you as women have in the lives of so many other people upon this earth. As a boy, he worked long hours in a factory, yet he yearned to be a singer. After he took his first lesson, he was told that he couldn't sing and that his voice sounded like wind in a shutter. That's not very encouraging. The boy's mother, though, had visions of greatness for her son. She believed that he had an incredible talent to sing. And so, though poor, she encouraged him and said to him, "I'll sacrifice for you. I will work as hard as I can, and I will pay for your singing lessons so that you can become the best singer possible that you can be." Her confidence paid off as she raised someone we all know by the name of Enrico Caruso. Yeah. The vision and the heart and the love and the hope of a mother. What a blessing that is in the lives of so many different people.